1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, friends, you know, this portion of The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got a juicy, thick sirloin and an all-day roasted prime rib. Come on down to Ted's and have yourself a great steak.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And this is the Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell joins us from Ted's in Beverly Hills. The news that is making big news today in the state of California, across the country, and I want to be very clear, when we talk about the California recall, it has repercussions nationally, Ted.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that, you know, as California goes, so goes the country, but in the way that all governorships are viewed, especially with a lot of state budgets under scrutiny, and a lot of states having a very difficult time.
Well, I think it's very, very true, Phil. And the reason why I have gotten involved in this recall effort, the reason why I'm considering throwing my hat in the ring on the side of the Republican Party, a lot depends, of course, tonight.
I know Schwarzenegger's going on with Leno, right?
Well, I think what's going to happen tonight is Schwarzenegger is going to say, no, he's not going to run it. He's going to turn it over to Reardon. And I think that Reardon will be the party choice. I think, barring that, I would be interested. And I'll tell you something else. We have a very exciting idea on how to help this, to finally get the budget square and to try to get this state off the verge of bankruptcy. We've got a tremendous idea that isn't going to cost the taxpayers of the state of California one nickel. And it's an opportunity for the citizens of the United States. And I think, Phil, this is where it comes in when you talk about that this has ramifications beyond the borders of California. I think what we're really saying is that the people of this country are getting rebate checks to the tune of between $200 to, say, $400 a check. This is a rebate that was mailed out as part of a $14 billion rebate package.
Well, the tax cut was $640 billion. Or something million, I forget what the number is.
Well, it was billion,
Yeah, okay, that's why you're the politician. I'm not.
But the tax rebates to the tune of $14 billion. The idea that we have is very exciting. What if we were to take those rebate checks that people are getting right now all over America, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in Minnesota, whether it's in New York or Arkansas or Texas or wherever you live, and you turn those around and redirect them to the California Treasury? We're talking about $14 billion that will go into the general fund and will begin to fund some of the programs that we cannot fund in the state of California and get the budget balanced, and any surplus will be then redirected back to the congressional offices of those individuals who helped us pave the way for this law. Now, the bill is called California Refinance Law.
And so in other words, it would take the rebate checks that are being mailed to Americans now and redirect them to the California Treasury.
That is correct, yes, Phil.
So the people are not going to get the rebate checks.
Well, okay, but here's the exciting part. No, they would not be getting the rebate checks, but here's what I think we need to understand. And this is why I think it's very, very exciting to think about running for the governorship of California. You know, Phil, California is the only state that is mentioned in the Bible, and the reason why is because God, in his directive to man, thought so highly of the Golden State that he wanted to make Moses and the prophets aware that someday we would be standing on the shores of this land of milk and honey. And I direct you to Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. That, my friend, is California, the land of milk and honey. And I think the American people who are looking at a state like California, we've had to look at them. They've had, let's be honest, you know, California, we've looked at people at the floods that they've, I don't even know, they say the river floods. I don't even know what that means, okay? But I'm willing to have sympathy for them and understand it's bad. But what do you mean the river is flooding, you know? And hurricanes and tornadoes and every kind of gobbledygook. And we were there for them. We were there for them. So now they need to be there for us. And I think the rebate check is very exciting. Because, again, if we understand that California, the promised land, is the land of milk and honey, then we'll send that money to the California Treasury. If not, it's tough for me to see how we could call ourselves a Judeo-Christian society. Now, California citizens...
All right, I want to jump in here and give our phone number out, Ted.
Certainly.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The idea here from Ted Bell, you're running as a Republican?
We're not officially announced yet, Phil.
All right, but you would run as a Republican.
Yes, I would.
All right.
Because the reason for that is, Phil, Republicans don't believe in this tax and spend, and creating new taxes. What we think is exciting about this is terribly, terribly exciting, is that this is just redirecting money that isn't a tax. It was going back to people, but now we're going to redirect that to the California Treasury, so you'll never really miss it because you were never going to... In other words, it wasn't yours to begin with. Bush has turned it back to you, but we can take it, turn it back to the California Treasury, and then what's really exciting about this is any surplus goes back to the congressional offices that helped us pave the way.
So when you say that the surplus goes back to the congressional offices that help you pave the way, you mean the individual congressmen?
Well, a lot of the people that did the hard, hard legwork, a lot of the people that did the trench work, the people that did what we call the spade work, digging and shoveling, those people, their offices, their districts, the things that are important to their constituency would be addressed at that time. California citizens, the most excited part of this, would be exempt from sending their rebate checks in because of the suffering that they are going through right now. So I think it's terribly exciting. So the only people that would keep their rebate checks would be Californians. All the other people in America would send their rebate checks to the California Treasury. That money would balance the budget, and bail us out in a lot of programs. The surplus goes back to Washington, and no new tax has been created. We're very excited about it. I've tried to talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger about it. Schwarzenegger did not want to hear.
You know, his name is Schwarzenegger because it can get...
I'm terribly sorry, Phil.
Okay, because it sounded different the way you said it. And have you talked to...
Well, I haven't talked to Dianne, not Dianne Feinstein, I haven't talked to Richard Reardon about it, but I know the Democrats, it's going to have the Democrats just running for toilet paper, because I can tell you it is a really phenomenal idea.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. With me is Ted Bell. He's a prominent businessman in the Beverly Hills, California area. He's considering throwing his hat into the ring for this California recall. Why is this important to our listeners? Is the proposal that you have on the table called the California Refinance Bill would take those rebate checks that people are getting right now and redirect them to the California Treasury.
That is correct.
So they would not be getting their rebates.
Well, no, they wouldn't be getting their rebates. Let's talk about that for just a minute, because I can hear, I know what you're going to...
I mean, that's money that a lot of people... That's $300, $400, $500 that they're not going to get that's going to go to California. What do you say to an American who says, hey, wait a second, I want that money, why should I bail out California?
I think it's a very, very interesting question. I think it's a very exciting question, because I welcome exciting questions. And let me tell you why it makes sense. From the standpoint of leadership in the state, as well as from the standpoint of why it makes sense for the American people to send their money to California. For years and years and years, and I'm talking about going on many, many years, we have had to sit here out in the Golden State and look at these people with the floods and the hurricanes, and I don't even know, you know, you see these pictures and tornadoes, I don't know what it is. And I'm scared to death, their homes are flying out, we've had to look at that. And we didn't say anything. We sat there and we stared at it. Now I'm asking people to remember something. It's called the United States. Oh, see, people forget that, Phil. In our rush to judgment, in our rush to enjoy our lives here in this great country, we forget it's called the United States. And what that means is...
All right, well, what that means is we're united.
We are united and we help each other out, and we don't sit around like spoiled, childish children, saying, no, this is mine, you don't get any. Because I can tell you right now, some of the things we've had to put up with out here, with all of those, whatever the hell you call them, the things you see on television coming from back east, like to set you free. So that's why I'm saying to you now and to your listeners right now, the California Refinance Bill is the way to go. It's $300 you never knew you owned anyway.
All right. Well, it's $300 I may not know that I own, but it's $300 that I was anticipating.
Oh, come on. What were you going to do? Were you going to put it down in a car? Were you going to put it there?
Well, it might have been, but it's my money.
No, it's money that George Bush said could be yours, but we're redirecting it. Understand, California is on the verge of bankruptcy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Got time for one call before the break. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, my point is really you are taxing me. You're taking money that has come out of my pocket already as a tax, and now you're taking it back and retaxing it again, moving it from one state, from the government, from the federal government, to California coffers.
Right.
I mean, you're basically taxing me against my will in the state of California. I don't want to pay for California's problems. I pay for my state's problems.
I'm not taxing you against your will because the money was already taxed. Okay.
Yes, you are. All the tax is being returned to me,
and you're taking
it away from me and putting it into California. I don't even really consider yourself a Republican or a conservative with that point of view.
What are you talking about? I'm not creating any new taxes. You liberals are the ones that create the new taxes.
I am not a liberal. I am very much a conservative.
Yeah, well, you don't talk
number
like
two,
one. Number
you two,
you're not
you are
like
very
one.
Much taxing me. You're taking a tax money that was being returned to me and then appropriating it, retaxing it, and giving it to California. You are very much creating
a tax. It was not really being returned to you, unless, you know, that's what Bush...
It's not really being returned
to you. Well, because here's what I wanted to say to you, Peter. That's what Bush said he was going to do, but we're changing our mind, if you will, and we're redirecting the money.
You are. The federal government isn't deciding to do this.
See, that's what's the trade-off, Ted, for a guy like Peter or anybody else? What are they getting for their money?
Well, first of all, it really isn't their money. It was already... Bush gave it back to them as a gesture of kindness. All right, that's number one.
Oh,
so it's not really your money. Well, how do you figure it's your money?
It's my money because I paid it into the government.
He paid it into the government.
The government is returning it to me to do as I see fit to stimulate the economy.
That's a very good point.
You're changing one tax to another.
That's a good point.
You have not changed my taxation burden at all.
But how do you know that money...
You redirected it from one pocket to another.
But how do you know the money that's going back to you wasn't money that was earned on interest? So it maybe is not your tax money, but it's money the government made on interest. See, these are the things you're
thinking
about.
The government doesn't work that way. You should know better. If you're running for politics, you should know better. The government does not put any money in any account and earn interest.
Absolutely it does. Of course it does.
It is all a transfer of funds.
And I hope that you'll remember me, Peter. In October, I'm going to be running on the Republican side.
He's in Vermont.
Oh, you're not in California? I'm sorry.
I'm not from California.
Why was I talking
but
to
you? But you know what? You are not going to be running as a Republican.
You're talking to this man because you're asking the people of America to give their rebate checks back to the state of California. That's why you're talking to him.
But he's not voting, so I don't understand.
I'm taking calls from around the country. Peter, thank you very much. 1-800-449...
I mean, what are you trying to pull?
I'm not trying to pull anything. I'm just saying... People that are calling my show are calling from around the country. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The rebate check that you are scheduled to get in a $13 billion payback to the American people, the rebate check that you're scheduled to get, Ted Bell, running for governor, would like to create a California finance bill so that that rebate check is taken and given to California instead of you to help bail out the Golden State. Would you be willing to give up your $300 rebate check to help bail out the Golden State, the land, as Ted says, the state that is mentioned in the Bible as the land of milk and honey? It's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, the only state that's mentioned in the Bible. Wouldn't you give up your rebate check to help the state of California? And if you didn't, wouldn't that mean we're not a Judeo-Christian country? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, communist influenced. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell on, a Republican who is going to throw his hat into the ring for the governorship of California. To bail out the state of California, the idea that Mr. Bell has is to garnish the rebate checks that are going out to all Americans and redirect the money to the California Treasury. And the reason why he says that, and Ted, you go ahead and say it. The reason why you say that is why?
The reason reason why I say that is because the people of America have, we've had to sit out here in California and look at them while they, while stuff happened. I mean, some of the stuff that happens, you see these people, mudslides with, tornadoes and a tree, the houses flying through the air, and we got to look at that and flooded farms and things. I think that
it's not a matter of looking at it. It's
We were there to help out. It's called the United States. Are we Christians or are we not?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bob, go ahead.
I have a neighbor friend of mine who supposed to hit Benton's intact and Steve Spenny and gets himself in trouble. I don't feel obligated to help them. I think they should fall under their own weight and burden of all the spending they've been doing and borrowing. I believe that California is a democratic state, it's led by democratic ideology.
You're missing the point.
And this is what they deserve what they get.
Well, Bob, I think you're missing the point. Your neighbor you don't want to bail out has had to sit there and look at your house and listen to you fight with your wife and everything for years. Now all he's asking is a little, what have you put him through?
A lot of people are going to leave California, and a lot of businesses are going to go ahead and leave.
Where are they going to go?
If we go ahead and pay all this money,
yeah,
you still haven't solved the root problem, and that is you borrow and you spend.
Does your neighbor live upwind of you or downwind?
And addressing the symptoms of the problem.
Uh-huh. All right. But what I'm saying, hello?
Yeah.
Okay, Bob. Just a quick question. Is your neighbor upwind of you or downwind?
What does that mean?
I'm trying to make a point. Does your neighbor live upwind of you or downwind?
Well, it depends on which neighbor I'm looking at.
Okay, let's say the guy you were thinking of when you're talking about bailing him out.
Across the street.
All right, so he may be downwind, let's say. He's got to smell what's coming out of your house. He's got to look at your underwear hanging from a clothes. See what I'm saying? In other words, we're all in this together. We all swim in the same water, all right? Your kid's running around with no underwear on or, crapping in the gutter, and I got to look at that. So when the time comes, we're good neighbors to each other, right?
If you change the policies and the spending habits and the borrowing and all that.
Okay.
If you don't do it, it's like giving a drunk,
So you don't believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic then. All right, thank you.
Well, wait a minute. He didn't say that.
Well, the land of milk and honey is California. Excuse me, I'm awfully sorry, but I had some chicken chow mein. And if the septic tank breaks, you're going to step over it, or are you going to go out and sweep up the poo like a good neighbor? See, this is what people say, if California, what's it got to do with me? We've had to look at you, and we're downwind of a lot of states.
So what do you mean downwind of a lot of states?
We got to smell it.
All right, here's Jackie. Jackie, go ahead.
First off, I don't appreciate the way you're using a Christian ethic to defend what you're doing.
You mean ethic?
Ethic. I don't appreciate that at all. I'm as Christian as it gets,
okay,
and I believe in helping each other as much as you can.
This is a very good point, Jackie.
Jackie,
hold on. We're going into a commercial break. We want to get into this whole Judeo-Christian thing.
Well, it's in the Bible, Jackie. Exodus 3:8. The land of milk and honey, California.
All right, Jackie, hold the line. We'll talk about this with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And we're downwind of blood.
Forget about being downwind. We'll be talking with Ted Bell about California taking your rebate check to bail out its treasury. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Grand Texas Beverly Hills. Check out our fantastic steak. You're going to love it. It's rare. It's just, I don't know.
Here at Tess,
fresh.
All right.
Got the wrong copy.
Okay, did you get the wrong copy there?
I don't know. The point I want to make, though, Phil, more than anything else, that the people of the state of California, I think this is very exciting, and I think a lot of your listeners should understand how exciting this is. The people of the state of California will not have to give back their rebate checks, only people who live in other states. And that, because the people of California, now you may think that that's unfair.
That does sound unfair.
But let me explain. The people of California have suffered enough. So now the other people who live in other states can contribute to our treasury, and so it's payback, if you will, for us having to, you know, as I say figuratively, live downwind of the other states.
When you say live downwind, it's like California has had to be in the same country with other states.
Well, I don't want to put it that way, but in a way you're right, because we are the sixth largest economy in the world, and everybody else is just sucking off of us and draining us of our life, draining us like almost like leeches. I mean, there's California, and then there's 49 maggots that just leech right off of us. And to me, it's...
You're referring to the other 49 states as maggots?
Not maggots, but they suck you dry after a while. And that's the part that just disturbs me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So, people giving up their rebate checks for California. Don, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I tell you, Mr. Lee?
My name is Ted Bell.
Okay, to Mr. Bell, I'm sorry. You know, I'm from California, and my family is still out there, and
uh-huh.
I'm very concerned about what's happening in California.
Yeah.
But I don't hardly see how you can think it's fair for the rest of the country, and you're trying to imply that the rest of the country has always leached from California as if no federal funds have ever been used to fix things in California.
Well, no,
and
no,
I know that for a fact to be false.
Well, I mean, you got to go back to the 1930s. Unlike Florida and all these other states that today, they can't do anything without federal money. California is the sixth largest economy in the world. And as a result of that, Don, we have funded so many things, and as I said, figuratively speaking, we're downwind to the rest of you.
When you say downwind, I don't like that term. I like being in the United States. I'm a Californian, and I like being an American.
Well, I do too.
And I don't think I'm downwind of everybody. I think that everybody is, you know, there's a lot of beautiful states.
I think, Mr. Bell, that you could get a little bit more cooperation from the rest of the country that
uh-huh.
you seem to think is a lot inferior from California, which you are entirely misinformed, sir. But I think you'd get a lot more help from the rest of the country if you implied that we were equals, which we are.
I would like to think that. I really honestly would. But you know as well as I do, Dad, if you've lived in California, you've been to the rest of the country, you know, it's just,
Can I tell you something, Mr. Bell?
Go right ahead.
The reason that I don't live in California anymore is because typically most of the people in California live beyond their means, just like the state of California.
Oh, so now you're generalizing. Okay. See, that's not fair. Where are you from?
I live in Florida now.
All right, well, let's just say that everybody in Florida, let's say everybody in Florida sleeps with their sister. Of course they don't. That's a generalization. Just like what you said about Californians.
All right, gentlemen, let's not get contentious. I mean, I don't agree with you, Mr. Bell. I agree with Don. We're Americans, and I don't think that we should garnish other people's tax rebates.
We're not garnishing anything. It's not their money. They haven't even gotten it yet. They'll never see it. We just take the checks, turn them around, and send them to California. Now, look, I'm telling you, it's in the Bible, Exodus 3:8, land of milk and honey. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about that, do you, Don? You know why? Because
You're
not going to dispute
the
word of God.
I'm kind of listening to what you, Bill. You're entirely misinformed. I think that the rest of the country would be willing to help, California out. And
the land of milk and honey would be downwind.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, sir. You know, you were very rude to that man.
Phil, I don't think he got what I was trying to say.
Well, you were talking over that man. It was very rude. And what do you mean it says in the Bible that the land of milk and honey is downwind? What's that mean?
It means that the land of milk and honey is going to be downwind from a lot of stench-ridden countries.
Here is Barbara. Hi, Barbara. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I have been listening to my radio as I'm traveling through Steamboat Springs.
Isn't that nice?
And I'm from Indiana.
And
I'm extremely offended.
By who? By Mr. Henry?
By Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
That the rest of us are being called maggots, and we're being told we're downwind, like we're septic systems, and yet we're supposed to be united and give you our money?
Well, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Don't interrupt me while I'm talking.
Don't interrupt this lady. You've been interrupting other people.
You have been rude to other people. You've expected us to give you our money when you guys have gotten yourself in that problem. Indiana's got money problems. Why don't the rest of them give their money to Indiana?
Well, Barbara, Indiana is hardly to be considered in the same context as California.
We're just dirt, aren't we?
Well, no, you're not dirt. I think that you've had some marvelous things happen there. I know that's a wonderful farming state.
Indiana has had a lot. Think of how many men are on the Vietnam War Memorial from Indiana. Think of how many guys are on the. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here.
What is that clicking I'm hearing?
Barbara, I think you got call waiting or something. Is there a call coming through for you, dear?
I don't think so.
Look, Colorado, I'll tell you what. Colorado's nice. I get my beef from there because we have a steakhouse. I think Indiana's got a marvelous steakhouse in downtown Indianapolis called St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I know it very well. But I would say that if you're downwind of Indiana...
Well, you'd knock it off with downwind.
Yeah, that's very offensive. And
I'm sorry,
it does nothing to help your cause by calling the rest of us cow dung, basically, or septic system.
No, ma'am. Wagon. No, I'm saying... And I think it's very rude of you to be calling from your bathroom. I really is. And I want to point that out, Mr. Henry.
What did she do?
I could hear a toilet flush.
Barbara?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Are you in your bathroom?
No, I'm not. I heard a toilet flush.
Well, it wasn't from me because I'm sitting in a car on my cell phone.
Well, I hardly think that this is a very conducive or constructive conversation when you're going to lie to me.
I beg your pardon, sir, madam. I am not lying to you. I'm sitting in my car in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
And why did I distinctly hear the sound of a toilet flushing? Why did I distinctly hear the sound of a toilet?
It's probably your toilet.
I heard the toilet paper roll do a turn, and then the toilet bowl started. Now, Mr. Henry, I don't like being insulted.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
In a restroom.
I distinctly heard a splash sound in your toilet, and I'm here talking about the state of California and the terrible things we're going through, and you're there doing number two after your lunch. And
oh my God!
I'm sorry. I am not going to put up with this kind of crap.
Madam, you have
called
insulted
a liar because I am not lying.
You have insulted
goodbye.
Every single. Goodbye.
Hello? Okay, so now they both hung up. All right, couple things. A, that lady was in her car. She was not sitting on the toilet. B, you owe an apology, Ted, to Americans who are not living downwind. When you say United States, it's United States. C, there's a lot of great places around this country. Chicago, Denver, Miami, New York. I just ran out of them. That's it for me. And thirdly, God, do I hope Reardon runs and not that, not that meathead. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I gotta move on, okay? I gotta move on, all right?
That was my commercial, and I want to say for the second time, I think that I'm entitled to finish my point of view. When you had a caller come on your airwaves and across 100 signals across this country, she was going number two. She was.
Will you grow up?
I don't understand.
Would you grow up? She was going. She was not. She was in her car. I'm done with you. I'm finished with the interview.
Oh, you're done with me?
Yes. Yeah, I'm done with you.
I'm Ted Bell. I own one of the biggest...
I know who you are. You're Ted Bell. You're going to run for governor. You're not going to come on this program and... You ain't telling me how to run my show. Now get lost.
You know something, Henry? You are going to twist in the breeze like the rest of them. You don't ever mess with me, because I can tell you something right now. I'm Ted Bell, and you're an ass.
You know, can we get some guests on that don't cry? Just guests that don't cry. Phil Henry Show, by the way, the voice of Ted Bell was performed by me. The callers were non-prompted and non-paid, these callers from yesterday's show. We had Lloyd Bonafide, who's a Korean War veteran, who said that a Asian-American child wearing a Kobe shirt and selling candies in a mall caused him to have a flashback back to Korea. He pulled the shirt off of the kid because he doesn't like Kobe Bryant, and when confronted with a half-naked Asian, he clocked the kid, thinking he was back in combat. We had a caller who said that the kid should have whooped Lloyd's ass.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Go ahead.
I think that Korean guy should have whooped his behind. I don't care what Vietnamese he went to or what war. We respect that for fighting for America.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Give him the right hit an American citizen. That Korean guy who sells the trucker should whoop his damn behind. He deserves a whoop.
How come they got a Chinaman
and think you can hit them all the time?
How come they got a Chinaman selling chocolates wearing a Kobe Bryant?
I don't care whether you have a Chinaman, a black man, an Asian man. They don't give you the right to take and hit someone. You need your ass whooped. That's what you need.
You got a pretty smart mouth on you, young lady.
You got it right. If I was the Asian man, I would have whooped your head. You hear me?
Let me tell you something.
You have the right because where I'm come from, you have the right because
you
want the water hit me.
Korea going toe-to-toe with the Chinese.
Your ass. You know what? If I was that young man, I would get all my friends and whoop your ass.
I was in hand-to-hand combat with the Chinese.
You had no right to hit him.
Your ass.
You know what?
All right, okay, hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
I want to say something, Mr. Henry.
What you want to say? That you have all the right that you could do what you want with everybody?
Lucy, hold on.
No, you don't.
Hold on, Lucy. What?
Number one, I went hand-to-hand combat with a Chinese. I could kick this Jamaican's ass all the way back to the...
Oh, now hold on for a minute, okay?
Well, she ain't... Ain't you Jamaican? You gotta be Jamaican.
No, you don't need to know where I'm from.
You ain't from America.
You shouldn't be living then, because if you're going to take it out an American citizen
like myself,
anybody else, you don't need to fight the war. We don't need people like you to think that because
there
you fight the war and fight for America, you could take and come and slap me. I'm American citizen. Are you going to come and take and slap me if you see me wear a jersey from a sport?
Wait a minute.
No,
you said you're an American citizen.
Right take
how
off
can
somebody's
you,
shirt.
How can you be
you
an American citizen
America
if you speak pidgin English?
Right. So you please. Get your statement straight.
All right, Lucy, thank you for your call.
Did you hang up on her?
I didn't hang up on her, sir. No, I've just terminated the call. Our number is 1-800.
Because I could tell she came from Jamaica because she speaks that pidgin English, you know. Me, man, you know, man and all of that. I had a workman. I had a handyman who talked like that.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, okay, whatever, Lloyd. There's Lloyd. You can hear that and other great bits on our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. That's from our show yesterday. And also, if you go to our website, you will note that we have a banner up that is in tribute to James Cawley. James Cawley was a member of the United States Marines. He was killed in action in Iraq. He was a listener of our show, and he was brought to our attention by another listener who was also with him in Iraq, And we certainly honor his service to our country. And perhaps I've had a lot of kind of interesting stories since I've started doing this show roughly 13, 14 years ago. I had a guy tell me once that the first thing his wife laughed at as she was coming out of a 2-month coma from being in an automobile accident was listening to a bit on our show. You know, stuff like that. I don't, you know, I mean, I generally don't bring that stuff up because it seems a little self-serving. But sometimes I like to self-serve, so I think I'll bring more of it up. And then there was a little boy in Utah. Remember the little guy in Sandy Springs, I think it was, in Utah, who was in a coma? Our show was, apparently kids go into comas or they're coming out of comas when they listen to this show. How flattering is that? Thanks a lot. Well, we hope he's doing better. And we found out that this Sergeant James W. Cawley, Staff Sergeant with the Marines in Iraq, in combat, during a firefight, he and the other Marines would do Bud Dickman and Jeff Dotter impressions just to sort of break the tension. And I don't know why I find that to be a very high honor, but I do. I just think that that's phenomenal. I mean, that's like a Betty Grable poster in World War II, right? You know what I'm saying? That's like Kilroy was here. Bud Dickman was in Iraq. I might have known it would bring you out.
Well, don't you think I have it right?
Don't I think you got the right for what?
Get everybody talk about me in Iraq, not you. They're going to hear me on graffiti.
Yeah, that's right, bud. They'll spray paint your name in bathrooms in Iraq.
That's right.
Can you imagine some guy doing your voice in a foxhole in Iraq?
I think it's bitching.
Oh, jeez. Do you know where Iraq is?
That's where we fought the war.
I know, but do you know where it is?
I know that it's not... Well, that's a great question.
It is a good question, because we fight wars. Nobody knows where the wars are that we're fighting, right?
Well, you know where it is?
Yes, I do know where Iraq is, as a matter of fact.
You find it on a map?
Yes, I could find it on a map.
Okay, where is it? Because I don't believe you.
Well, you better believe. You get me a map, and I'll show you Iraq.
Well, you like to say that because you just want to put me down.
No, I don't want to put you down.
Where's Iraq? Here's a map right here.
Give it to me. There, that's Iraq.
Okay, now see that?
Yeah.
That's Iraq.
That's because I just showed you, isn't it?
No, you said I not know, and I do know.
You're a lying sack of...
Yeah, you hate me because the Marines like me. That's the only problem with you, you piece of...
See, there's Iraq. Now I know. Go to our website as well, and we've got a nice little place for the R.C. Collins Pay Her Already contest. You have to see this to believe it. Read R.C. Collins' diary entry for the... first part of the month of August, and in that diary entry, he brings up a contest that he'd like to have. He thinks that Kobe Bryant can talk the girl out of thinking that what happened to her happened if he pays her enough money. And just to quote his diary entry, he says, maybe he can do what Michael Jackson do and help her remember she was wrong by paying her. If you think Kobe can help her remember that she was wrong by paying her, write to me, or maybe you don't. Write to Pay Her Already at R.C. Collins. Pay Her Already at R.C. Collins at PhilHenryShow.com. The best letter will win a Phil Henry Show Flexit ball cap. We'll decide whose letter is the goodest, and that'll be that. Bye for now. Supper Fi. What an idiot. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Fox News is reporting that Arnold Schwarzenegger will run for governor. They've got a picture of him on the screen right now. Wait a minute, that's a black man. In any event, Fox is reporting that Arnold Schwarzenegger will run for California governor. And of course, Fox is notoriously dishonest. They lie through their teeth at every opportunity. Every chance they get, they lie just for the kicks of lying. Just to see if we'll run out and see if there's another Bronco gun down the road. So I wouldn't trust them as far as I could spit into a hurricane. But that's what they're saying. Arnold Schwarzenegger will run for California governor. If I were you, I wouldn't believe it until it's corroborated about 8, 9, 10, 15 times. Or until KFI's Eric Leonard reports it. And that's who's on the air with me right now. From Eagle, Colorado. Eric, how are you?
Great. Good to talk to you, Phil.
Eric is with our sister station, KFI Los Angeles. He's also with the Phil Henry Show and Clear Channel all over the country. And you have been there, Eric, awaiting and witnessing the so-called media frenzy around Kobe Bryant. Tell us, Eric, what the actual appearance today was for. It's not an arraignment, is it? It's a pre-trial hearing, correct?
Yeah, and it's really a legal formality that didn't even have to happen. Kobe's lawyers pushed for this and demanded that the judge hold this, it's called an advisement hearing. Basically what happens is the defendant, whoever it is, comes into court and the judge reads the charge, whatever it is, formally to the defendant, and then asked, do you understand what the charge is? That's all that was supposed to happen today. And remember, Kobe's lawyers pushed for this. But then when they got to court this afternoon and the judge says, well, how would you like to proceed on the advisement? Kobe's lawyer said, oh, never mind. We'll waive the reading of the charges.
So all of this, will he come to Denver, or excuse me, will he come to Eagle? Yes, you must come to Eagle, Mr. Bryant, because it's important for the process. Okay, I'll come to Eagle. Never had to take place, is what you're telling me.
That's what the legal experts are telling me. They did also set a date.
Are they legal experts from Fox? Because they're the lionest. No, okay. All right.
They set a date for a preliminary hearing, which is when the prosecutors will hold a kind of a mini trial, no jury. They just have to convince the judge that they have enough evidence to hold a jury trial. That will happen on October 9th, which incidentally is the beginning of the preseason for the L.A. Lakers.
By the way, Eric, I don't know if you'd have information. Is there any discussion, if you're a discussion about this trial not taking place till after the season?
Well, that may happen simply out of logistics. There are all kinds of delays that happen in preparation for a trial, certainly in a high-profile one like this, where the defendant has the means to hire investigators and kind of pursue his own case. There's no question this could stretch on for many months. As far as the legal system in Colorado agreeing to delay it just so Kobe can play basketball, I don't think that will happen because time and time again we've heard from the prosecutors and the sheriff's department, everybody out here kind of echoing the same line, which is we're not treating this guy any different than we would anyone else. And we're not making any exceptions for him.
Now, speaking of that, there was some commentator, I honestly don't know which network, who was shocked to see Kobe Bryant run through the security gauntlet this morning. Like, why? They're putting a wand on Kobe Bryant. You know, it seems as if we've lost our minds when we cover these things. I want to ask you about the so-called media circus, or the fans that were there and the media that was there. Now, I heard the kids yelling, Kobe, you're innocent. Was it a pretty large crowd, and were they mostly teenagers?
It was a lot of teenagers. It was not that. I'd say a few dozen people. You know, I always have to equate this to covering a brush fire. There's a point when a fire gets so big that it creates its own wind.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens when media descends in one place by the hundreds. I mean, they estimate there's 500 reporters and photographers and technicians in this tiny little town just to cover this. And by virtue of us being there and all concentrated in one place, people try to insert themselves into the story. So, yeah, we had people showing up in Lakers jerseys.
Ugh.
Someone had painted their car Free Kobe. And they all cheered for him when he got out of this chauffeured SUV to go into the hearing. And then they cheered for him again when he came back out and left town.
Can you give us an idea? Eagle is how far from Vail, and Vail is how far from Denver? What are we talking about here?
We're about 150 miles west of Denver and about 40 or 30 miles west of Vail. We're kind of on the downslope of the Rocky Mountains. Vail's obviously a really popular skiing resort, and this is like the poor man's Vail, Eagle. It's where all the less expensive hotels are, where you can still get access to the skiing in Vail with not too much of a drive.
Eric, I wanted to ask you about the media itself. Are you seeing... this is tough for, you know, I shouldn't put you in this position of reporting on other reporters, but...
Oh, I like that.
Do you? I mean, I just want to get an idea. What's the most ridiculous... I can understand the large news-gathering organizations, and I can understand Los Angeles media being there because of the Lakers connection. But are you seeing some really ridiculous representation in terms of the media? I mean, what are you seeing? Is there a lot of tabloid crap and you know, radio stations and TV stations that would otherwise have no business?
Well, it always cracks me up when I come to a big event and TV stations have not just sent one reporter, they've sent multiple reporters, and always the assignment falls on the second or third string person to do a story about the media frenzy.
Yeah.
So we had all of these reporters reporting on other reporters, and I, you know, following me around with a camera all day today. Yeah, you've got all the tabloid TV shows. They're doing the same nonsense. And but what's amazing is how far Kobe Bryant's name reaches. There's a couple of reporters here and a TV crew from Italy, where he was raised. I mean,
right.
They came all the way out here.
Okay.
A Swedish network.
That's what I, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, Kurdistan or something like, you know, I just wonder. Of course, the Chinese are big basketball fans, too, so don't be surprised if you see them. Was there anybody sitting there doing their morning show at a big table, you know? You know,
a couple of the local radio stations kind of pulled out all the stops and brought their hosts out to the scene here and anchored their news from here. CNN did a pretty exhaustive job this morning. They had their legal analysts standing out here. They had some of their their name talent up on these platforms. Oh, that's the other thing. Across the street from the courthouse, these networks who have been here since last week paid local construction companies to come out here and build these grandstands. It's like a parade seating all the way down the block opposite the courthouse,
so
they could elevate their cameras up and look down into the front of the courtyard, in front of the courthouse. It is unbelievable how much money they've spent and thrown into this to get this thing on the air.
And it only lasted how long? How long was it?
By my calculation, it was 7 minutes.
7 minutes?
Probably the most expensive 7 minutes in local news in a long time.
Oh, my God. 7 minutes, and the local radio stations were out there doing wacky antics and stuff?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know,
what crazy, disgusting thing will you do to get into the Kobe Bryant trial and things like that? Well, I really appreciate you coming on with us, Eric. If there's a question I haven't asked you, is there any other observation you have?
Seen? Really, the only interesting thing that came out of the hearing today was the judge agreed with Kobe's lawyers, who said the local sheriff's department has been leaking information to the press.
Yeah.
In violation of a gag order.
Yeah.
So the judge today agreed to appoint a neighboring county's sheriff's department to come in as a special investigator and look into it and find out what's really going on.
Oh, like a plumber's unit almost, to
exactly
plug the leak.
What's going on.
Oh, that's got to be embarrassing, because they've already been called, Mayberry RFD over there and a bunch of hicks and all of this, and now they got other sheriffs coming in to make sure that they're not, that they're wiping their rear ends properly, huh?
And years ago, apparently, there was a whole string of, racial profiling traffic stops through here that forced kind of a reorganization and re-education of the local cops.
You know, that is, and again, this is just me giving an opinion, but maybe you have an observation. That stuff becomes huge in a trial like this, doesn't it? I mean, what may be a cut and dried, yes, he did, or no, he didn't. For instance, let's say he did. All of a sudden, the racial profiling of the sheriff's department in 1995 becomes enormous, doesn't it? And it's just everything is used. All of the stops are pulled out. Let's say he didn't. Let's say the man is innocent. And then suddenly, you know, maybe his history is brought to light. Maybe his tendency to this or that or something else is brought to light. All that stuff becomes enormous.
It certainly does, especially in cases when the defendants have means. When you've got a very, very wealthy defendant, in this case, extraordinarily wealthy, who can spend as much money as he wants on investigators and extra lawyers to pursue all these theories and bring up all kinds of things that could cloud the central issue in the mind of a jury. And you're absolutely right. There have been investigators here crawling through this town ever since this arrest was announced, all of them working for various law firms that connect back to Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
And, trying to get people to talk on their side, trying to find out what's going on the other side.
Yeah.
And so there's also, just within the media, there's a great deal of suspicion that some of the leaks that supposedly were coming out of the police department may have been carefully planted by people working for Kobe Bryant.
One more question, Eric, because I never did really find out. Who hired these attorneys from Denver? Who placed the call to hire these attorneys? Do you know?
I don't.
Haddon and what's the name? Mackey.
Mackey. But I would imagine, since they're fairly well known in the legal community, that Mr. Bryant is afforded the best counsel and was probably given some very clear advice from people in Southern California about who to talk to.
Lakers? Because if the Lakers gave him advice on who to hire, isn't that something that stinks to high heaven? I mean, I don't know. Eric, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you.
We're going to talk to you. Can we just hook up with you as this thing goes along? Are you leaving Eagle now? I mean, there's nothing left to do there now, right? Right?
Except go back through the Wendy's drive-thru for the 80th time.
Well, there you go. Yeah, get yourself some dinner, and then try to get a bush plane out of there. And,
I have a feeling I will find myself here in October when this preliminary hearing begins.
Oh, no doubt. And then we'll have you back on. Thank you very much, Eric.
Sure thing.
Okay, pal. That's Eric Leonard with Clear Channel and our radio show and with our sister station in Los Angeles, KFI. And he said people back in Los Angeles, of course, that could have been the agent hiring the attorneys for him. But I just think that it's wrong. I think there's something desperately wrong if the Lakers made the call. I think there's something desperately wrong with that. I have news about Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who emailed me today. I'll read you that and more when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
If you were fortunate enough to watch the media coverage of the Kobe Bryant trial or pre-hearing or pre-screening or AIDS testing, I don't know what it was today. He just walked in front of the judge. You would have heard insightful comments like these coming from, well, hey, this is someone from Fox. This is John Gibson. And here's what he had to say.
Well, that's kind of a surprise. Everybody's going through the security check, including the lawyers. Including Kobe, it appears they are all being wanded. Anybody who goes to airports these days knows what it's like to be wanded. Judge Napolitano, I didn't expect that, but I guess it makes sense.
Boy, that's thank God we got those guys there for us, that they can make sense out of that which cannot be made sense of. They actually had to go through a security checkpoint and get wanded. Judge Napolitano, you know, I hadn't expected that, but it would make sense. Yeah, it does, in light of the fact that a guy walked into the New York City Hall last month and blew away a bunch of people and murdered a city councilman. Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense. But do you think it makes sense with Kobe Bryant? Why don't you let me leave your show now? I got to go. First of all, I have a bowel movement that I've been needing to take since 6. Secondly, I've got a court trial. But Judge Napolitano, just one more question. Do you think it makes sense for Kobe to come in clothing? I mean, he could just, okay, I'm leaving now. But why? Why? Because you're an idiot. That's why. You're in it. You know we're on the air. I don't care if we're on the air. Doesn't matter to me anymore that we're on the air. I was going to give legal opinion, and you're asking me about isn't it surprising that Kobe had to go through the metal detector? Well, I was just trying to get your opinion. You're just trying to get my opinion? You know what you're doing to me? You're driving me nuts. I don't ever want to come back on your show, your network, any of you people. I don't care if it's that piece of ass Linda Vester. Out of here. That's what I am. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Well, I think you're a fascist. Excuse me. This is Fox. I think you're a liberal. Yeah, whatever. Then you hear this.
What do you think about the way they are taking care of him right now? I mean, there were three bailiffs standing outside. There's three bailiffs inside the door. There's two guys. I mean, this looks like private security. You see these guys, once Kobe's in the door, sort of turn and cover as if this is a slight military operation.
Right.
It is clear we have a star in the building.
Well, what we don't see is the probable ring of sheriff's officers around the driveway and the parking lot in the courthouse. The last thing the government wants is some 19-year-old woman to come up to him and ask him for his autograph. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, let me tell you what the last thing the government also wants. They don't want some disgruntled guy, some fan, some kookball, some white supremacist, some angry Laker fan to come up and stick the barrel of a gun in his belly and pull the trigger. They don't want that either. That's why he has security there. He's a famous person.
Now, let me tell you, the last thing they want is some broad.
Judge Napolitano, you're a very wise man.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us, why are there police there?
Well, you need to have them. I don't know why. In the many years that I've lived in New York and the surrounding boroughs, I've never needed a cop, but,
Okay, Judge, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And I noticed that Kobe's bald and his wife's wearing a hat. Now, that surprises me. Kobe, being bald, should wear a hat, and the wife ought to be bald, you know? But,
well, you don't usually see bald women.
No, you don't. But in this instance, I think I'd expect a bald woman because Kobe is bald already. So, you see, it's not that surprising. See?
There he is leaving the building.
There you go. That's the other one. There he is leaving the building, okay? The big, tall, bald, black guy, that would be Kobe leaving the building, as opposed to the 9 million other big, tall, black, bald men that live in Eagle, Colorado. Because they're all over the place there. All right, where's Kobe? The big, tall, bald, okay, why do I need to point it out? Well, I just don't know. There's no other black guys here. What are you crazy? Well, what about that one? That's freaking that guy from the CBS Good Morning Show. That guy ain't, he ain't tall and he ain't bald. He's black. What about that one? That's, what's his name? Gumble. And what about that one?
That's Katie Couric.
Okay, that she ain't even black. What are you screwing with me now? Who's he? Al Roker. Well, he's dark. I'll give you that. Get out of here, will you? You're bugging me. I just want to know, where is Kobe Bryant? He's gone now, man. All of you're screwing around. He's gone. I was going to get him as an interview, but forget it. I think I'm going to take in Geely. I think it's playing at the Eagle Six. I hear it's fantastic. I hear it's down to $187 a screen. Anything but you. Anything but you, Judge Napolitano. And you, Mr. Gibson. And you, Kobe. All of you guys, you can all pound it sideways, up left. By the way, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Well, that's kind of a surprise. Everybody's going through the security check.
Okay. Yeah!
What's kind of a surprise? Everybody's going through the security check.
What is, somebody get Gibson some Starbucks. What is it, 5 a.m.? Come on, go, 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 go. You.
Mr. Gibson, you want some Starbucks?
No, I'll do it. Gibson wants Starbucks. Get him some of that heavy espresso. Hit me with that heavy that caffeine stuff. No decaf for him. Okay?
He has a heart condition.
I don't care if he has a massive coronary on the screen. Get him the caffeine. Because if I got to listen to him going with that,
oh, look, a man with shoes.
You know, we're in trouble. There you go.
Well, that's kind of a surprise. Everybody's going through the security check.
Ladies and gentlemen, seriously, does it dawn on you? You know what I've been talking about? Oh, I meant to tell you, I got an email from Mark Cuban, who's a fan of our show. He's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He listens to the Phil Henry Show, probably on the internet, because Mark Cuban founded Broadcast.com. If you're familiar with Broadcast.com, they basically were the company that founded live streaming audio on the internet. And he sent me the email. I sent the following email to him. Mr. Cuban, in light of your comments concerning the Kobe Bryant case, and let me remind you what he said. He said that the Kobe Bryant case, good or bad, is good business for the NBA. Good or bad is good business for the NBA. Now, right off the bat, people are going to say, wow, what a really outspoken guy, and how can you deny that? See, the problem I have with that is, if that's true, you don't need to say it. And doubly, if it is really true, then good business for the NBA also means that the fans are taken for idiots. So I wanted to talk to him about all of this, and I sent him the email. In light of your comments concerning the Kobe Bryant case and their effect on NBA business, we certainly would welcome you on our show. We're on here in Los Angeles. We were on in Dallas, but the town's still a little backward. Thank you in advance, Phil Henry. I'll tell you what he wrote back in a second.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So I told you, I emailed Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. I got an email back from him that says the following. Well, see, I said, will you come on our show? Concerning your comments on the Kobe Bryant case, he sent back the following email. Will I get the real Phil, or will you be Mark Cuban and I can be Phil? I'm a fan of your show. Thanks, M. Because he thought that I'd be doing voice shtick. So I sent back this email. I said, oh, it'll be me. Don't worry. I didn't hear from him, and I thought, well, maybe that was a little rough. So I sent back this email. I said, anytime today, 4 to 7 Pacific Daylight Time, your call, wherever you are, will reach you. What do you say, Henry? And nothing. And I'll tell you why. I told him Mr. Cuban is, and I know the guy's a fan of my show, and it doesn't make any difference to me. Doesn't matter to me one bit, because this is bigger than anything having to do with me going home and kissing myself and looking in the mirror and playing with myself, because Mark Cuban is a big fan of mine. This has to do with sports stars and owners are not used to real debate about what they do for a living or about their off-court behavior. They're really not. That kind of journalism is long gone. They're not used to debating the virtual merits of their sport, to actually sit down and defend statements they make, because, you see, they think that you're doing them a favor, that they're doing you a favor by actually sitting down with them. By actually just even coming on the air, this guy probably would think he was doing me a favor. Now, I'll tell you why he didn't call me, because he got a hold of his press relations department, and they probably read him the email that Chris sent, which I also asked Chris to send. And in that email, we were a little more pointed. We said, we want to ask Mr. Cuban why he has so little regard for rape victims and basketball fans. And I'll bet you that put him off big time. And you may say, well, why would you put a stupid question to them like that? Naturally, they're going to blow you off. Look, I could be the most polite guy. Believe me, I've dealt with these people for many years. Many years. And you can be the most polite, ingratiating, and sweet person in the world, and they'll still blow you off. So I might as well piss them off from the gate, because I can guarantee you this. If they got the ego like that, this Cuban guy's got, there's a good chance they will go for it. But I don't doubt that it's a little bit of a shock for anybody in the world of sports to actually have to face down real questions that are really honest and that do not smack of any obsequiousness or overly sickeningly respect for the sports community. In other words, they don't have any experience talking to people who don't give a flying crap who they are, what they are, what they do for a living. They don't. That's completely beyond their experience. Okay, sit down, Kobe. You mean you're just telling me to sit down? Why don't you ask me, please? Sit down! I'm Kobe Bryant. I know who you are. I know exactly who you are. Well, you can't talk to me like that. Well, I'm talking. You can get up and leave if you want to, but I ain't going to sit here and kiss your rear end. And what am I supposed to ask you? Would you like a latte? Huh? Some strained tangerine juice or something, man? Is that what you want? What do you need? Is your man's man here need something? Does your posse need somewhere to sit? Can I have somebody go pick up the gold chains, man? And, you know, by the way, I don't have workman's comp, so if they sprain their back dragging your jewelry out of here, you'll pardon me. No, we don't do that. We don't play that. I ain't going to go on there, and I'm not going to, you know, do all that stuff. You know, these sports talk radio guys do? All of those cats on sports radio. You know, he ain't my man. And I don't care whether he brings it or not. You know? And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not there to give them any respect. They got to prove to me that they deserve the respect. I treat everybody the same. You prove to me you deserve respect. Otherwise, you can pound it right on out of here. What do I care? So that's why Mark Cuban wouldn't come on the air with me. I am guessing. I don't know. Because he sure emailed me back fast when, you know, hey, it was Phil Hendry, and he thought I was going to be doing shtick, but now he knows what it's about. You don't want to talk to me. Because his statement smacked of no respect for the possibility that there's a rape victim involved in this case, and it didn't smack of any respect for you, the basketball fan. Because once again, what you guys miss and what you continue to miss, and those kids that were saying, oh, Kobe, yay, Kobe's innocent. I can dig it. I understand. They're kids. Got nothing against them. They just go ahead. They eat whatever the big sports machine spits up. Whatever the big sports breast squeezes out, they'll sit there and suck on it. Whatever the big sports machine has got to pump out, man, they'll unwrap it and eat it, even if it's finely packaged, beautifully presented, and beautifully marketed turds. They'll go ahead and eat it. That's the sports fan of America. I'm telling you. Now, when it comes to basketball, it's the same thing. And Stern, that comment he made today, disassociating themselves from the Mark Cuban. You, who do you think you're kidding, Stern? You work for that guy. You are the commissioner of basketball. You work for the owners. Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, probably all those kids that were screaming, hey, Kobe, we really love your ass. Maybe they'll believe you, but please, I've been around the block too many times, man. You know, go ahead and send a press release to somebody else. For not one minute do I believe that you may be outraged, but that ain't going to be so much outrage you quit your job. You know, if Stern had any real moxie, if the guy had any real moral fiber, he'd say to the owners, you guys keep this garbage up, and I quit. And they'll say, okay, then we're not going to pay off the rest of your $50 million contract. And he'll say, let me think about it. See, so I'm not there to, you know, I'm not there to talk to these guys about how, hey, how you been, and what up? I What, are you an idiot or something, man? I teach my kids to speak English. What do you speak? My kids are speaking freaking English over here. What are you speaking? They ain't looking up to you. They're looking down on you. They look down on you. My kids are at a higher level than you. I'm going to tell you something, and you better take this to the bank. Remember when you heard this on this day, August the, was today the 7th? I want to make sure I got the date. No, today's August the 6th. You heard this for the very first time ever in your life. And it's going to be said here on the Phil Hendry Show. Sports and entertainment, as we have known it for the last, say, 100 years, has only got another 30 years to go, and then it's done. It's gone. I say at the outside, another 30 years. Tops. Tops. The sports personality and the movie star and the cult of celebrity that surrounds them is rapidly beginning to erode. The sports fans and the movie fans have found out that they can actually have more fun for less money sitting in front of their computer at home. Now, I can go home and play Madden 2003 and have more fun than watching any NFL game. And I'm going to tell this to that guy that wants to build a stadium. What's the guy's name? That Philip Anschultz or Anheuser-Busch? What is his name? The guy that wants to build a stadium in L.A.? He's some old decrepit creep that wants to put another ballpark up around here. Probably want to drag a few more Mexicans out of their houses doing it. I don't know what the guy's name is. But in any event, pal, save yourself the grief. Save yourself the heartache. Because I got a prediction for you. You put a ballpark in the city of Los Angeles where there is no National Football League team, and oh yeah, for the first few weeks they're going to have balloons going off, and there'll be doves of peace flying, and they'll have movie stars, and they'll have rock stars, and they'll probably have a live performance by, who do you think, Dave Matthews, U2, no, who's really current? As soon as they name the L.A. franchise, you know, some brand new team will come out, they'll build a ballpark, and they'll have an appearance by Lincoln freaking Park. There you go. Linkin Park will come out and they'll do, you know, their big hits. And I'll tell you, within the first 2 years, you will see the audience begin, the attendance begin to go downhill. It'll begin to erode. The novelty will wear off. And you're going to be faced with the same reality that skinny old bastard up there in Oakland's faced with, that Al Davis, that guy that wants to rob the city of Oakland for $1 billion. You'll be faced with a horrible reality that people can have more fun sitting at home, going to the refrigerator, cracking a beer, flip it on DirecTV, and if you've got the split screen capability, man, I can run all, like 4 or 5 games at once on one screen. Then I go into my other 2 TV sets and I do that. I got all six, you know, what is it, 16 games? I got them all covered on 3 TV sets. Why do I need to come to your ballpark? Unless I'm rich, unless I can sit on my can next to you, Mr. Anheuser. And I can sit there and, you know, break bread with you. Yeah, I guess that'd be kind of nice. But most people aren't like that. Most people don't have that kind of money. Most people are going to sit there in the cheap seats. Philip Anschutz, is that his name? Oh, boy. Another kraut. Philip, so, you know, nobody has that kind of bread, baby. The rest of us, we got to sit in those lousy cheap seats and go out to the lousy cheap parking and sit there in the traffic and wait for the cop to wake up long enough to get the traffic, you know, to kind of wave more traffic through. And then he'll go back to sleep and he'll, you know, catch a nap. And then we got to sit there and wait for the light to change. And that's our life going in and out of your stinking ballpark. Entertainment and sports, when it comes to the cult of celebrity, is over. Now, you heard it here on my show. You can disagree all you want. You have just heard the facts. It's done. It is eroding. And, you know, I will give the guys that are involved in the computer business this much credit, that they have seen that the evolution of our addiction to these individuals, like the Kobe Bryants or the J-Lo's or whoever the hell it is, beginning to sort of stagnate because they're not delivering. They're just not delivering the way we need to have our entertainment delivered. She comes out with a rotten movie. This guy just disappoints us, and one disappointment after another compounds on themselves until finally you can't stomach it any longer. I've had it up to here with the Allen Iversons. I've had it up to here with all of those scumbags. You have too. And we can find more entertainment and more enjoyment sitting at home with our kids on a computer. Entertainment is now in at the fingertips in our homes. Holographic kinds of computer animation. We'll be able to create our own movies. We will be able to create all of our own games. We won't need to go to your ballpark or your movie anymore. You won't need talk shows. I'm gone. I'm dead. I'm a dinosaur. What you're hearing now, please tape record or whatever for future posterity. Because, baby, I ain't going to be around. In 30 years, I'll be dead anyway. Thank God. Thank God. Because what's coming, man, I don't want to be around for. But it'll be done. It'll be done. There will be no talk shows. There'll be more interactive community kinds of things going on. Unless they clone me. Then, of course, it'll be the Phil Jr. Show. I don't know what the hell to call it. There won't be any more TV as we know it. It'll be self-created television. There won't be radio as we know it. It'll be self-programmed. You'll program whatever you want. If you want to listen to talk, you can maybe dial up a talk show you heard in 1986. Maybe you'll want to listen to an old movie, listen to, who knows, poetry. You'll create your own environment of entertainment, and you will no longer need the large entertainment companies. The only thing you'll really need will be the software, obviously, and the hardware. And the software can be modified. You can include this, discard that. So, and the rights to these various things, they're going to go into public domain eventually. And there will be no actors in the future, and there will be no ballplayers in the future. They'll just be you, and your family, and your friends. And it'll be the 19th century all over again when, yeah, maybe there was a famous actor that came through town, but mostly everybody sat around and played the banjo and looked at a fire and heard stories. And that's what it'll be. We'll be back fireside again with the family screwing around playing games on our computers. That's exactly what we're going to be doing, and maybe, just maybe, that's a good thing. Because we'll all be together again. Thank you very much. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'd like to be your next president. Governor. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to take calls for the next hour and 10 minutes on the show. Our number 1-800-449-8686. A souvenir shop at the Phil Hendry website, man. You heard Ted Bell today. Then you know you got to get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Ted is running for governor, and his great idea, he's going to garnish all of your rebate checks. They're all coming to California. And what do you guys get in return? The fact that we just really love you, and thanks a lot. And, you know, the fact that we've had to be downwind of you all these years. So, I think he's a rude son of a gun, but what do I know? Now, anyway, go to our souvenir shop and get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Ted's of Beverly Hills apron, the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. Man, we got it all. Ted's is the place. Or you can go to the Phil Hendry store inside of our souvenir shop. We have the Phil Hendry t-shirts, Phil Hendry ball cap. In fact, we're giving one of those away in our R.C. Collins contest. And, of course, the Western Estates store. You can get the Western Estates Homeowners Association polo shirt, Western Estates Homeowners Association tote bag, a canvas tote bag, or spa robe. And new now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police watch. This is high quality. I want to emphasize something. If you guys think this is crap from, you know, the corner guy, like a guy who took out an office in a business park somewhere and he's pumping it out on a silkscreen machine. No. We don't play that. We got high quality stuff, high quality merchandise. Take a look at this travel. Anything that we sell, baby, is the real deal. It isn't anything that's going to wash off in three washes. It ain't going to be something that's going to fall apart. You're going to pull out your Citizens Auxiliary Police watch and it's going to bust a spring and, you know, look like something out of a freaking cartoon. No way. So go to the website, check out our souvenir shop. Arnold Schwarzenegger is announcing that he is going to run for California governor, as far as I can tell. I really can't understand a word he says. Even when I met him that day, he walked to the office. Remember that, Chris?
How you doing?
You had the sense he didn't know who the hell he was talking to. He didn't know why he was there. He has these giant teeth. He's about 5'2", eyes are blue. I tower over the guy. If it wasn't the fact that he was so wide and so... If it wasn't for the fact that he was such a badass, I could kick his ass. And he comes in and they said, Arnold, you better go in there. Phil Henry's office. I don't know who the hell he is. You know, he doesn't know. So he said, how you doing? Good luck. You know, that's, I remember him saying, how you doing and good luck. Whatever. I don't, who are you, man? I'm working. Get out of here. Ouch. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
How are you?
It's fabulous.
Good.
Okay, so this is so funny. You were talking about the whole creating our own game thing.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, men have been into this fantasy baseball and whatnot, you know, forever.
Right.
And I can't believe they don't have the technology already, but it seems to me if you can get that involved, just doing it in your head and on paper, if we could create our own, you know, fantasy teams, right, on
yeah.
our computers.
Right.
Go up again. I mean, it's really all statistics. I mean, I have no idea how it works.
It's going to be the baseball of the future will be a computer where you create the player, create the
right.
uniform, create the ballpark, and then you get online and you play against other teams. We'll have national and regional leagues. The play, the computer software would get more and more sophisticated where the players, you know, their muscle tension and their stance. I mean, everything. You'll be able to have a virtual baseball league and you won't have to put up with these slobs and paying them
well,
the money and, you know.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at, like, even the PlayStation games now.
Right.
I mean, you know, the technology is definitely there. And as far as, like, the idol worship, I mean, look at even Schwarzenegger. When the hell, what is up? I mean, we had Reagan, but now everybody does everything.
Yeah, this guy is going to get, this guy will get elected, too. You know why, Chris? Because
oh, yeah, of course.
We're back
we're
in
idiots.
We're back in high school, and the prom king always wins the election. I mean.
And who's married to a Kennedy.
Who's married to a Kennedy, which is whatever, I mean.
Well, I mean, the whole, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like Ken and Barbie, you know.
Right.
There's
yeah,
no real politics. There's no real.
It's, everything's plastic. All the breasts, the asses, everything are plastic. We're going to be playing. We'll be playing baseball with mutant chimps that are wired to a giant computer, and they'll play baseball and they'll entertain, and then we'll shock them if we don't like what they're doing, and we can just torture animals. That's the sports of the future.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger's going to run for governor, and you know he's going to get elected in the state of California, and I don't know how it is in any other state in the union, but here, they just vote for the guy. It's like like I said to the caller last hour, it's a prom king syndrome. If the guy was the prom king, if he's the star athlete, that's who you vote for the student council. Forget about the guy that's got any good ideas. He's the prom king, he's going to win. And this guy's going to be the next governor of California. And the Republicans are going to fix everything, and everything will be just great again, won't it? Sure will. And Pete Wilson didn't do anything wrong, and it's all the Democrats' fault. This is the song that these guys have been singing for so long. It's tired, it's old, it's over, and only the dumbest human being in the world would believe it. Only the dumbest human being on earth would believe that tired, stale Republican song, which goes something like this, all liberals are bad, and all conservatives are good, and anything good that was ever done was done by a conservative, and everything bad is done by a liberal. Like that Scarecrow Ann Coulter with those books she's writing. Good God Almighty, you've never seen such broad brush bullcrap in your life. All the liberals hate America. Clinton hated America. You have to be mentally unstable to make statements like that, or you've got to be really angry. And I think Ann Coulter was probably thrown out of bed by a liberal. What do you think of that one, Ann? I think your last boyfriend was a Democrat, and you know what? He told you to get lost. You were too skinny. Because she is just full of hate. I mean, she's full of hate. Hate. Now, let me tell you how it goes in the state of California, and it goes this way in other states, too. See, they bring in the Republicans to get everything straight and to cut the budget and cut the deficit and, you know, schools out and they're cracking down and police are all in the community and they're busting down on crime and everybody's happy. And then they find out, oh, well, they cut off these programs that we like for school and we don't have enough money for education and we may not have enough money for cops. And all of a sudden they vote in a Democrat, and then the Democrats overspend on some public problems, and then they begin to straighten out some of those social concerns that people have legitimately. And then, of course, they overspend, and then they go into a deficit, and guess what they do? Well, then they vote back in the Republicans to crack some heads and get all those blacks and all those Mexicans and throw them into jail, and let's make sure that we've got a really solid place. And then, hey, we all of a sudden we find out all those social programs are going to get. And back and forth and back and forth. That's how it goes here in a good old sunshine state. Arnold Schwarzenegger was quoted as saying, I'm going to pump up Sacramento on the Leno show. Oh, really? You'll be pumping Sacramento? Everyone? So anyway, so he's going to run for governor, and everybody's going to go gaga and goo-goo, and he's going to solve all the problems. That's just the way it is. Look, as Americans, we've long ago abdicated any responsibility for our government. Oh, he meant San Francisco. Yeah, Arnold's going to be pumping in San Francisco, not Sacramento. Now I understand. You know, we've long since abdicated any responsibility we have toward government. We barely vote. We don't even know what voting is. Half of us can't even spell it. And that's just the way it is. We need our politics big. We need it full of smoke and mirrors. We need it just like when Schwarzenegger comes out on the Leno show tonight. He comes out in a big puff of smoke, and he'll be in a loincloth. You should see it. I just saw it. He'll be in a loincloth with a spear. And he comes out with war paint on, and he does an Indian dance, and then he jumps into Jay's lap, gives him a big full-mouth kiss, and says, I'm running. And Jay says, I am too, and he starts to try to get out of there, but they pin him against the desk, and then Reardon and Schwarzenegger both have at Jay as he is face down on his desk. And then Doug Henning comes out and supplies the special effects, and I hear it's a wonderful show. Not for the kids, but you may want to put them to bed early. But you won't want to miss tonight's big show with Jay Leno. Arnold's going to announce that he's going to run for governor, and then he's going to be appointed Jesus H. Christ on the cross. These cats that call themselves conservatives, half of them couldn't spell it. Most of them don't know what it means. But they all agree on one thing, that everything would be just perfect if the whole world went their way. And that they're the only ones that love their country. Well, see, they're giddy because they've got a Republican president right now who's done some good things. And they're giddy with glee because there have been some large mistakes made by Democratic politicians. And they're actually boldly going out and writing slanderous things, lying barefaced to people, pretending like patriotism was invented by them. And in other words, just insulting whoever and whatever. They don't care. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to come back around and bite you on the ass so hard, man, you'll think that you'll think you were never straight. You'd think you were born with a pole up there. You keep talking that big talk. You keep talking that big talk about how all the problems are solved if we just have conservatives there in the State House or the White House or the outhouse or whatever house you're living in, and friend, what goes around comes around, and we're going to have the same cycle back at it again. Here in California, since I was a kid, we've had a guy, Edmund Pat Brown, was the governor when I was a little tiny kid. He was a conservative, excuse me, he was a Democrat, he was a Kennedy Democrat. And guess what? People couldn't stand his liberal policies, so in 1966, they elected a guy by the name of Ronald Reagan. He was a movie actor. And he was with the Screen Actors Guild, and he was going to kick ass and take names. And he did, till 1974. And guess who they have elected in 1974, because Reagan did such a great job? Jerry Brown, Pat Brown's son. And for 8 years, until 1982, Jerry Brown was the governor. Well, then in 1982, guess who got elected? A Republican, George Duke Magian. Armenian-American from Central California. He was the former Attorney General of the state of California, and he was governor until 1990, until along came Pete Wilson. Even more. Now, that broke the rhythm, because now that's two Republicans in one. Pete Wilson came out of San Diego, and Pete Wilson is one of the reasons why California is in the state that it's in today. A Republican. Does anybody want to point that out? Does anybody want to admit that? Does anyone want to be man enough and stand up and accept that as fact? Of course not. It was Pete Wilson that gave us deregulation. And then I listened to my Republican wife the other day saying, if it wasn't for that damn deregulation, I said, hey, baby, thank you, Republican Party. And she's like, she's shocked. She didn't know that was their idea. I said, what, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? You didn't know that was theirs? The problem with deregulation, of course, I said it a million times, is this. For you guys, this is basic. Just dig this. When you deregulate and you leave the market forces to take place by themselves, see, you are assuming that business will do business honestly. Because Republicans and conservatives think that if you just take the reins off of business, well, they're just going to do business honestly. The fact of the matter is, some of them are crooks. Some of them pollute, some of them steal, some of them rob, some of them lie, and the next thing you know, you got an energy crisis, or you got WorldCom or Enron or some of this other crap. You got to keep your eye on some of these guys, unfortunately. So now what we're going to have here is our third straight Republican governor, a guy by the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's cool. No problem. I got no problem with him being a foreigner. It's all right. I guess he's a Californian. Everybody just puts their arms around him and they think that he's just, because he was the Terminator. And they think that the on-screen persona is the same as the guy. I got news for you, folks. Please, God, let's grow up at least that much, all right? You are not going to have Conan the Barbarian as the governor. You're aware of that, aren't you? Please, tell me that you're aware of the fact you ain't going to have Conan the Barbarian and you ain't going to have the Terminator as the governor. Just let me know that much so I can sleep peacefully tonight and not toss and turn like I do each and every night thinking about, X-rated stuff. I mean, please tell me that much that you know that when Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes governor of the state of California, you're not going to be having him going, I'll be back. You know, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just tell me, and I'm looking at Ann Coulter's face right now, man, you'd think she was in heaven. You'd think she was getting a neck massage. Tell me you know that when Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to Sacramento, we ain't going to have some badass Terminator in there. That we've got adults actually voting in this state. That we have grown-up people who actually vote in this state. If we really had grown-ups in this state, we wouldn't be voting for a recall. If this was really a mature state, if this really had mature leadership, forget about the governor. I'm talking about every last one of them, including Republicans. We wouldn't even be having a recall. But that's under the that's water under the bridge now. So the Terminator's going to be running for president, governor, whatever. What's the difference? He'll probably run for president too. And the next, no, he can't run for president because he wasn't born here, right? He'll get around that. I guarantee he'll get around that. Yes, I was born here. I was born in Cleveland. What are you talking about? This is a Lake Erie accent. Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. We're accepting phone calls the next 45 minutes. Also, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go to our website. Stop by a page dedicated to Staff Sergeant James Colley. He was a listener of ours who was killed in Iraq, a Marine sergeant, and the page will tell you about how you can donate to a fund that was set up for his kids. If I can actually bring this page. Oh, there it is. You can donate to a fund. It's called the Colley Children Memorial Fund, and you can donate to that and help his kids. As disgraceful as it sounds, it's true. Our military, which supposedly is supported by Republicans, by the way, our military, our veterans get disgraceful benefits and support for their families while in combat or after they die. Disabled vets get no support whatsoever. So it would be nice if you just stop by and at least read what they have to say there, read about the family. It's on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. There's also a photograph that was sent to us of a memorial that his unit erected for him in Iraq, and you can see that on our homepage. All right, it's time for a mailbag right now, and here it is. This one's from Sean, What I don't get is if everybody is pissed off at these sports athletes, especially Kobe Bryant, why isn't there organized effort by the fans to boycott sporting events until these stupid athletes, owners, and whatnot get some morals? I bet if these losers started to lose some money, they would listen to the fans really quick. I myself have stopped watching sports since I found out about Pete Rose back in the 80s. Another thing I don't get is why do fans continue to support athletes in spite of what they have been doing all these years? Sean. I am listening online to WGST in Atlanta. I am listening to some woman talking about adultery, and I wish I was listening to this live. I want to call in so badly about this. I have so far counted 85 over the people that call in. This woman has irritated me to the last straw. All the people that have called in during her radio time should seriously file defamation of character lawsuits against this woman. I think she has completely lost it and has absolutely no clue how to raise a child when she acts like a child herself. That's another thing. Since she knows so much about raising a child, where is her diploma on graduation? If I had it, I would bet money that she has a criminal rap sheet longer than my arm. She has admitted to giving minors beer, and I think she should have charges brought against her. Mike Elmore, Lafayette, Louisiana. P.S. Could you maybe talk to KPEL 105.1 here in Lafayette about picking up this show? Because I want to hear it every day. Hey, Phil, this is Casey, one of your faithful female listeners. I'm 21 years old, been married for 2 years to my active duty husband, and listening to your show really makes me laugh, especially tonight, since my husband's service to this nation has him working incredibly long hours in preparation to his upcoming deployment. You reassure me that there is still some sense in this crazy world. I love your blunt and hilarious broadcasts. Thank you and hugs. P.S. The U.S. military thanks you for your support. I include a picture of myself and my husband, CM3 Donald Palmer, United States Navy. Sincerely, Casey Palmer. Okay, just go to our website. You can see a picture of Casey and her husband, Donald. Very handsome couple. Very beautiful couple there. On our website, they're in our scrapbook. We don't have her in the Wall of Female Listeners. If you want to be in the Wall of Female Listeners, you have to have a picture taken of yourself along with a picture of me, which you can download, and then you can print it off like that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And we told you about Schwarzenegger running for president of the United States and California governor and all that stuff. Now we move on to the Saudi Arabians. We're going to get to some phone calls, too, and a whole bunch of other BS. But let's just plug this one in because this is a beauty. Growth restrictions. Get a load of this. Ever since 9/11, kids are being born around New York that are pint-sized because the dust and the crap that was in the air that the Saudi Arabians put in the air, it causes our kids to be stunted in their growth. Now, what happened to that lawsuit that we had filed against those guys? I thought, wasn't it for like $1 trillion? And what were the Saudis crying about that? With these, no, you can't do that. If you do that, then we're not going to have any oil for you. Well, look at, man, our kids are being born and we're sticking them in shoeboxes because of you guys. That was Bin Laden. That was Al-Qaeda. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, they're all Saudi Arabians. If 19 Americans hijacked 4 Saudi Arabian airplanes and flew them into the mosque at Mecca, the holy mosque at Mecca, and blew it to pieces, killing in the process thousands of pilgrims who had come there for the Hajj, there would be a bloodbath in the Middle East. It would be the CIA and America the devil and America, America, America. It would be, just use your own logic, you folks in the Arab world, and you can see why we come to the conclusion that Saudi Arabia stinks to high heaven on this one. And what happened to that lawsuit? I want to know when that thing's coming down, baby. I want to see some blood flowing on that. $1 trillion, man. That'll buy a whole hell of a lot of big kids. Because we got some teeny ones getting born on account of this dust. You think I'm kidding? I'll read you the story in a minute. Here is Eric. Eric, how you doing?
Hi. Not bad.
Good, man.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air, pal.
I was just wondering, why are you taking so many phone calls recently?
Because I feel like it, because it's time. It's time for me to kind of evolve the show a little bit, shift it around, see what there is out there.
Hmm.
Show people the other things I can do.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I always swore I'd never call your show.
Yeah.
Just because of the...
Is this Eric Leonard who we just had on the air from Eagle?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. You sound a lot like him, though.
And And here I am. I'm a backstage pass listener out of Chicago.
Right, cool.
So, you know, we can't get you on the air here, so...
We were on the air there, but then Opie and Anthony came on, but then they're off.
But I was just wondering about that, and I was also wondering...
We'll get back on Chicago. I think they'd like to have us back on, but they're... You know, we don't do... Our show is not a clone of the guy talk shows that are happening, man. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. We're not talking about chicks' butts and breasts all the time. I mean, I'm not spanking girls in the butt. You know, I ain't doing some derivative act like that. And a lot of stations, for instance, The Loop, or you know, I mean, they don't get it, man. If you're going to be talking, I'm number one in men in the cities that I'm in, and because guys want to hear me just talk about the crap that we're, you know, sports and chicks with big asses and our ugly wives and, you know, the stuff that we're all living.
Well, I think you're doing a fine job. You know,
well, you were going to call.
You're in a totally different class from these guys.
You were going to call and say, you know, your show blows lately, man, with the phone calls, weren't you?
It's funny you said blows, because I was going to ask you, where's the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter?
Oh, yeah, we're bringing it back.
What? No,
well, during football season.
The one you were going to sell in the store.
Do you have it?
No, the one in the... You're going to sell it in the store, the keychain?
Oh, Mark has it. Oh, the blows-a-meter that we were going to sell in the store.
Yes.
We found out that the chip that you have to buy to put in the keychain is so expensive that it would be prohibitive. So we're going to have to find... I don't know why that is, because I've seen those keychains. You can hit the button and it goes, you're an ass.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one? So we wanted to have one that said...
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter? Yep, bean dip.
See?
So I was really looking forward to getting that one on my keychain.
It would cost like $300 a keychain.
Yuck.
Yeah. So that's we'll be looking into that, though, Eric, because I know we got at least one customer in you. All right, 1-800-44... Could we just have one of those made up for Eric in Chicago? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger on the front page of the Drudge Report. There's a picture of him there on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and that big thick neck of his, he can't close that shirt. You better get yourself a shirt that fits, man, so you can put a tie around your neck. Because you're going to be walking around here, man, like you're at some kind of a cocktail party, you know? Would you be walking in doing the job of the governor dressed like you're going to a ball game? Put a tie on. You too, Bryant. 1-800-449-86. Well, he wasn't. He wasn't wearing a tie. Standing there in the courtroom like, you know, like he's on his way down to the Bahamas. He's going to order himself a pitcher of margaritas by the pool. So anyway, those Saudi Arabians making our kids tiny. Bastards. By the way, speaking of those bastards, the Iranians say they ain't got no nuclear weapons and they ain't gonna stop making nuclear juice because they use it for electricity, and that making weapons of nuclear devices, making a weapon out of a nuclear out of nuclear energy, is against the teachings of Islam and Muslims. And if that just don't beat all, excuse the hell out of me, you don't make nuclear weapons because it's against your teachings. That's the religion, man. You guys are rapidly overtaking Christianity as the number one creator of mayhem, heartbreak, violence, and death in the history of the world. But the Islamic faith is rapidly, they're just neck and neck with Christianity now on how many people they can kill. And pretty soon, I think probably sometime around the first of the year, if Al-Qaeda does what they say they're going to do, you guys will have the lead for good. You guys will have taken the lead in the amount of death and mayhem. And meanwhile, today in the Middle East, not that anybody cares, not that anyone is the least bit interested in America, but I am, and I just think I'll throw it out there. Today in the Middle East, while the Israelis were releasing prisoners as part of a deal with the Palestinians, the backstabbing Palestinians blew up another car in Tel Aviv. Backstabbing all the way. Can't trust them as far as you can spit into a tornado. It depends on which way the wind's blowing, though, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ed, John. Ed.
Ed.
Hold on. John.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good. How are you, man? Sorry.
I'm okay. It's all right. Just got a couple of quick points. Number one, what's his name? Schwarzenegger was born in Austria, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, he was born in Austria. The last time an Austrian citizen aspired to take over the leadership of a world power was Adolf Hitler.
Hey, let's not forget Kurt Waldheim, too. He didn't really take over. He was the head of the UN, but yeah.
Well, let me throw this at you.
You mean little Adolf Schickelgruber, yeah.
Let me throw this at you also. Do you know what his last name Schwarzenegger means?
I don't want to know, dude. Has it got something to do with race?
Yeah, it does. It means black, and it's the N-word. That's what his last name is, Schwarzenegger.
No, that ain't true.
That's exactly. I speak German.
No, Chris Pelton, my producer, who is a genius, or so he thinks, is shaking his head vigorously and saying that you're a liar.
You're a liar and a bastard.
No,
I might be a lying bastard. That's true. However, Schwarzenegger is. Schwarz means black.
Well, it's supposed to mean blacksmith, is my understanding. Blacksmith.
Well, you know what it is that they don't have that word. They don't use the N-word in their language, so that's okay. Probably true.
It comes out as Smith?
That would be Schmidt.
Schmidt. So the N-word is actually Smith in German.
That's too funny.
But so if I call a guy Smith and he's black, I may be blowing me away here. All right, dude.
All right, thanks a lot,
Thanks Bill. A lot. Bye-bye. What do you mean, blacksmith? Schwarzenegger? Blacksmith? Huh? 1-800-449-8686. Now here is Ed. Ed? Ed?
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir. Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Hey, I was listening to your show, and what are you saying that athletes can't possibly have any intelligence? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying professional athletes today have been elevated to a level far beyond their accomplishment. Elevated to a level of respect, credibility, and overall, importance far beyond what they contribute in any way, shape, or form. And if they are intelligent, which I seriously doubt, but if they are, so what? There's all kinds of intelligent people. I don't see that. Getting front page news.
Well, I think Arnold will cure all your problems because you were talking about that vicious cycle of Democrat, Republican thing. Mm-hmm. And his wife's a Democrat, and who do you think is going to run the office?
Yeah, okay. Oh, God. You know, that whole thing with a Hillary Clinton, you know, the reason why people hate Hillary Clinton is because, and when I say hate, I mean hate, is because she, what? What did she do wrong? You know, they hate her living guts, the Republicans. The Republicans are full of hate for a lot of people. But they really hate her because she was a woman that kind of broke the mold. They never had a Republican first lady like her. Somebody with a career, somebody with a little moxie. I'm sure that Calder's next book is going to be something called Hillary Clinton, Eva Braun. Hillary Clinton, her Eva Braun connection. She'll find something to hate in her. Ann Calder finds something to hate in everybody, man. Except Joe McCarthy. She loves that Nazi. I mean, that guy. Here's Troy. Hello, Troy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. It's Troy. Look, hey, I think it's great you guys are supporting that staff sergeant, and I'm always, you know, I'm always upset when an American serviceman gets killed over there. But when they do get killed, I believe their families get taken a little better care of than you say they are.
Not according to them.
Well, they get the serviceman's group life insurance policy of $200,000. I know if I die, my kids aren't going to get that much.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get some insurance for him?
Well, I got insurance, but it isn't quite that good.
Well, why
but,
don't you get some that's that good? How much?
Well,
$200,000. A $200,000 life insurance policy ain't going to break the bank on you. It's not going to kill you.
Well, I know that, but it might be a little rough up there in California, but I think they'd do all right if they lived in Tucson with $200,000.
Well, I don't know. They don't live in California. They live in Utah. That's number one. They're in Salt Lake City. And number two, the sergeant, this gentleman that I'm talking about, Sergeant Cawley, and I'm quoting directly from the page, because military death benefits are inadequate, and in lieu of flowers, a fund has been set up for the children.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
that's actually
really cool. I think that's cool, but I don't know. I think they're being taken care of pretty well.
Well, according to them, they're not. So I bye. I mean, I got to take their word for it, my man. Otherwise, are they trying to screw everybody? Is that it? Well, I tell you what, don't donate to their fund. If you'd like to donate to a couple of kids, you know, whose daddy was killed in Iraq, you can donate to their fund. Just go to our website, philhenryshow.com, Sergeant James W. Cawley. Or maybe you'd like to spend the money on season tickets to see the Jazz, huh? Maybe you got better things to do with the money. Maybe you want to go get some season tickets. Maybe you want to buy yourself a plasma screen TV and watch Kobe. Who cares about these guys? These guys are just, this guy just got killed over in Iraq in a Humvee accident while he was in a firefight with the Iraqis, but that doesn't even compare to the genius, to the great heroism and the genius strength of character that our athletes display every day on the gridiron. Half the guys in the National Football League had crapped their pants if you stuck them out there in Iraq. Half. Three quarters. You hear what I'm saying to you guys? I'm calling out every guy in the National Football League right now that's listening to this show. You would crap your pants if you were in the half of the stuff that those guys were in Iraq. Now that's, boy, I can't get any more explicit than that. You too, Cuban. Well, we already know about you, don't we? I mean, I can't get any more explicit than that. I am questioning your manhood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when are one of you guys going to cinch it up and get on this show with me? Because I don't think there's a man out there plays in that league of the NBA. You guys are the most pampered, taken care of, absolute, I mean, baby wiped up one side and down the next like you never seen in your life. You cats, take the cake, man. You take the cake, you take the bottle, you take the baby wipes, you take the blanket, everything. And if you guys were over there in Iraq, and you had to put up with the stuff that those guys have to put up with over there, and they're leaving a couple of babies without a father who at least, you know, in after his death, some people are trying to take care of his children. You guys don't even know where half your babies are. You don't even know where half the mothers are, those kids. So let me be clear. The National Football League and the NBA are populated with men who would scream, kick, and cry before they went to Iraq and did anything for their country, because there ain't any manhood in what you guys do for a living. You know it. I know it. And the fans are slowly but surely getting to know it. All right, there you go. There, I just said it. And I'll say it again tomorrow and the next day, because, frankly, I could care less how you feel. I could care less how you feel about it. And the kids that were cheering for Kobe today, God bless them, they're kids. Kids do what adults tell them to do. That's what kids do. Kids emulate the adult that they most want to emulate. And they just see as a great hero an individual who puts it on and sort of, you know, propagandizes the best. And a kid can be propagandized just as well as any adult, probably easier. You just shove in the right ingredients, churn out the propaganda, and the kids will suck it right up, man. They'll believe it. And then they get betrayed by these people, and they wonder what happened. And then they get pissed. The next thing you know, you got an alcoholic adult. Don't do yourself a favor, man. If you're under the age of 18, if you find yourself idolizing Kobe or whatever, why don't you just take a step back from it and take another look? Just forget that I said it. Just take a step back and take another look. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, did you see this? They're cloning sheep. No, wait a minute. They cloned a horse. That's what they did. They cloned a horse now. Let me tell you something. If your wife is the least bit hot, clone her, and then when the clone gets to be like 20, your wife, you can throw her away or whatever, and then the new clone looks just like how hot your wife was when you met her when she was 20. What do you think of that? And it won't be incest because it's a clone and you're not even related to it. They cloned it. You know, I really love it. And we think that cloning is immoral. Yeah, well, we're doing it anyway, so pound sand, okay? You Italians, you never go along with anything, do you? Cloning is immoral. Well, what did you do? You just cloned another sheep, huh? We said not to do it. Well, I want to do it. We said we were all going to get together. We're not cloning anything. No cloning. No cloning. It's bad. It's genetic engineering. Next thing you know, in the next 30 years, we'll, like, have centaurs again. Mermaids. I mean, Jesus. What, are you out of your mind? Well, I just thought I'd fool around with it. Fool around with it? What the hell is that? That's like a miniature horse or something. Who's that? That's my wife. You cloned her? Yeah. I just took some hair out of a hairbrush. 1-800-449-8686. Our Best Of CD available at philhenryshow.com in the souvenir shop. The sale of our Best Of CD for the year 2002 and all the years. The money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We appreciate your support. Here is Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, at the risk of getting hung up on here, I just have to sort of disagree or take issue with something that you said earlier. Talking about Islam, you know, and then talking about how they kill people, and there's a lot of people getting killed because of Islam, and then you said if they don't look out, you know, they're going to overtake Christianity as a religion that kills a whole bunch of people and stuff.
Oh, here I thought you were going to call up to defend Islam, but it's actually Christianity.
Well, do I sound like someone who would defend Islam? I mean,
I don't know. Do you agree with me that it's a violent religion?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then you have to agree that Christianity is likewise violent.
How? Do you mean by nature or by practice, by
practical application in the modern day? Islam seems to be a religion of violence, as does in many ways. Although Christianity, I'll give Christianity this: Christianity evolved in a more civilized environment. And by that I mean Christianity had the ability to evolve in an evolving society. It went from the monarchies of Europe to the democracies of the West. Whereas Islam has not had the benefit of developing in democratic societies. So it's I think kind of stunted. But if you look at Islam today, you're looking at Christianity 500 years ago.
Well, people always like to talk about, you know, the Crusades and the Inquisition and the witch trials and all that kind of stuff. And granted, I mean, that stuff happened. There's no doubt about it. Nobody can go back and rewrite history and say, yeah, somebody didn't kill somebody on account of heresy or something. However, I think it's kind of a mistake to pretend as though the religious folks have killed people and other people haven't, because the history tells us that the worst and most horrible atrocities ever committed, I mean, millions and millions of people killed, were committed under the atheist regimes and the secular regimes. And places like China and
history doesn't necessarily teach us that. History doesn't necessarily teach us that.
You're going.
How
to
many?
Deny
let me ask you a question.
People.
How many African and African Americans died in the genocide of slavery starting in the 16th century under the cross of Christianity?
Tell me.
They estimate 100 million. They estimate in the 500 years of slavery at 100 million Africans. African slaves and African Americans have lost their lives in a Christian society. And let's not forget that the explorers went to North America under the aegis of bringing Christianity to the natives. And then the slave trade began by these so-called Christian nations, Portugal, Spain. So, it's just what I said, I think, is very true. And I think it's very fair. And I'm not bagging on Christians. Islam today is exactly where Christianity was 500 years ago. You want to know how unreasonable and violent Christianity was? Take a look at what Islam is today. And you got it, baby. Dumb, unreasonable, violent, crazy, illogical, dogmatic, fascistic. I mean, and let's, on top of everything else, bigoted and racist. That seems to be the place that Islam finds itself today, which is exactly the place that Christianity had to pass through. All religions have to pass through that, especially if they get any power, man. The worst thing that can ever happen to a religion is it gets power within a society, it gets power within a government. It's horrible. It can be horrible. People suffer horribly at the hands of religious zealots. And it's frightening to see. Best thing for religion to do is keep its head down and learn to practice your faith through your daily life. Of course, that sounds too gay, I guess. Everybody wants to go out and kick ass. All right, here is Ted. Hey, Ted, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey.
How you doing?
You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, yeah, you know, the guy that was saying $200,000 for life insurance for the military guys that have died is bull crap.
Yeah?
You know what? I fall out of my tree in my backyard, my company will give me $200,000. I'm sorry, but these guys need to be taken care of better than that.
What do you mean? You're telling me they do not have a $200,000 death benefit in the military?
No, they need more than that.
Oh, okay. Because, well, I mean, the guy's got two kids and a wife. 200 Jesus, that ain't going to buy tap water now that you mention it.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm in Utah here, and my wife, when I first told her the premise of your show,
yeah,
she's like, oh, this is really funny. Yeah, let's laugh at people that don't know what's going on. But the more she listened to it, she loved it.
Well, you're yeah. I mean, I got to go, but thank you.
But just...
Okay. I'm sorry, dude. I got to go. Thanks very much, Ted. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.